this morning is, or actually some phrases that I've heard from people over the last few years is, God took them out of church for a while. Or I've heard people say that, no, thank you so much, God, that church isn't for them at the moment. Or, sorry guys, just a soft landing. I've heard people say stuff that, no, God called me for my own ministry. Or God has taken me out of church so that I can do this and this for Him. God has saved me from church. I've heard that as well. That's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, praise the Lord, He did. I'm not saying God can't move you. God can do that. He has moved me. Okay. But God saved me. And God has placed me in church because it's so important for Him. I want to see you being stirred by the Holy Spirit, worshiping in your room versus standing here and seeing other people worshiping God. There are not many people who stir me on to pray as Dennis and Haneke. And if God didn't add them here, then one of you should have stepped up to the plate. But God decided to add them to stir me on. God places us in family so that we may be stirred up, so that we may be encouraged, so that we may look more like Him. Also, the challenging stuff, those are the fun stuff, the encouraging stuff. But it's not always so encouraging, not always so fun. But man, God made us to be together. God wants, just as He wants to be with us, He wants us to be together. Remember, we've got a Trinity God. We've got God 3-in-1. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. And we are too, our brains are too small to comprehend that. And we try and have these illustrations of how to explain the 3-in-1. But it's still too big for us to understand. And now we're trying to our utmost best to walk in that same thing. When we come together on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we try and facilitate being together and oneness and unity to the best of our understanding. But guys, can I tell you that we haven't even scraped the surface of being one, being close, caring and loving for one another. Jesus' command was, love one another as I have loved you. We don't understand that because have you ever died on the cross for anyone? No. Have you ever jumped in front of a car for anyone? I jumped in front of a car, but it wasn't for someone else. It was an accident. We do not understand the love that God has for us. We do not understand the closeness and the oneness He wants with us and that He wants us to have. And Hebrews 6 verse 1 to 2. Therefore, Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance and of faith and of instruction and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Sorry guys, I lost my phone. I just need to put on the timer here. And the laying on of hands, the more you think about it, the more you go and search for it in Scripture, the more and more it gets revealed to you that the laying on of hands, it is impossible for me to lay hands on John if I'm not in proximity, if I'm not close to him, if I'm not near to him. You might have family that think sitting in their lounge, listening to church on the TV, is what God asked them to do? You might know someone like that. It's a lie from the enemy, because it puts distance between anyone who listens to church on TV and other believers. The Bible is full of people coming together, Christians walking together. Even the Great Commission was go and make disciples. Oh, and I didn't give you this one, but I do have it here in my notes. Let me just quickly get there. I'd never read it like this up until the preparation of this sermon. In verse 18, it says, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And then it says, they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Okay? That's part of the Great Commission. Go into all the worlds and proclaim the gospel of the whole creation. Whoever believes in, be baptized and will be saved. That's Jesus speaking. That wasn't Paul or Timothy or whoever. That was Jesus. Lay hands on one another. Make sure that you are close enough to other Christians. Because if you try and do it alone, it becomes very difficult. And we can go and look at the theology and the scripture of laying on of hands, and there are a few certain topics or a certain few practical ways that they did it, or that they used it in conferring a blessing when Isaac, Esau and Jacob, when Isaac wanted to pray for Esau, and then his mom hid him in the fur so that Jacob got the blessing. Did I mix up the names now? Jacob had to get the blessing, right? Esau had to get the blessing. I was right. Okay. Sorry if I mixed up the names now. You can read the Bible. Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Conferring a blessing, so passing over a blessing, praying for healing, obviously, we see that over and over. Ordaining a leader or praying in for people to go on missions as well. As last week, we prayed for Scabbert and Minky. I wasn't here, but we prayed for them as well. We missed them. We weren't here to say goodbye. Luckily, it's just Bloemfontein. Praise the Lord. But there was a sending, so we lay hands on them and we pray for them. The imparting of the Holy Spirit. All of these have something in common, that there's a closeness between the people who prayed and who received those. And it's beautiful if we go and draw that line, that thread throughout the Bible of Jesus walking with his disciples. He didn't say, be my disciple and stay in your own town. He said, follow me. Even the scripture that says, pick up your cross and follow me. We follow Jesus. We follow him by being led by the Holy Spirit. So laying on of hands is so much more than just putting my hand on John and praying that he will be healed. Because that's the most common one, I think. Well, for me at least. That is a love and a closeness. There's a caring that comes through when I start thinking and pondering on the idea of laying on of hands. That it's so much more than just giving a hug. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, again, Jesus says this, a new command I give to you. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That scripture is jam-packed, not just of love and wise words, but we need to mature in what we read. So initially we read love one another. Okay, God, I'll love my neighbor. I'll love the people around me. I'll love those who it's easy to be around with, who likes the same things of me. But when we start looking more into that scripture and we grow in how we love, then all of a sudden we start loving the people that it's not so easy to love anymore. Then I start understanding why people love me. Because I know that I'm that someone for other people. I'm that not easy to love guy because of A, B, and C. Because of my mannerisms, because of my this, because of how I struggle over my words sometimes. But still, God has put a love in others so that they can love me as well. And we read that, and I realize that as we love one another, and as I draw close to John, when you went to play paddle with people yesterday, day before, somewhere along the line. When I rock up at a paddle court with other believers, I draw close to them physically. And I have the opportunity of showing love to them so that other people will start asking the question, but why? Why did these people spend time together? When we rock up as a church or a community at a paddle court or anywhere else, people start going, what group of people? I promise you, other people between themselves, they start asking, what group of people is that? And then along the line, someone will guess they're probably from the same church. It's the only thing that makes sense. Because I can tell you now, in the corporate setting even, you get a year-end function, but it doesn't look the same as when a group of Christians go and play paddle together, go eat somewhere together. Because there's a love, there's a caring, there's a closeness that we carry that can't be explained without God. When we love those outside the church, remember, we're not just called to love those in the church, okay? God didn't give the church to us to be a holy huddle. He has created the church so that those who are lost and who don't know Him and the sick may come in and may be saved and healed like myself. When we love those outside the church, they get to see who God is. They get to see the Father. A while back, we spent time with Helmut from Bloemfontein, and he shared with us, he said, and you might have heard this before, but I heard it latestly from him, was, you might be the only Bible that some people might read. Meaning that you're the only one that might testify to someone about what God has done in your life. And we're going into the holidays. You're going to spend time with people you don't normally spend time with. Are you ready to testify? I'm not saying Bible bash them, okay? They might know more of the Bible than you do. So please don't go try and do an argument. Just to go and testify, because they can't argue against a testimony. What has God done in your life? Go share that with them. Because that's your relationship with God. So we get to pull people close. We even get to pull unbelievers close. Because that's what love is. Love doesn't go, oh, you're an unbeliever. Listen, Jesus loves you. I'll be here. You need to sort out your stuff. No. He says, go and make disciples. Come, John. I want to show you something. Come with me on Sunday. Come to church. There's a bunch of crazy people that screams and shout. But oh man, if you realize why they scream and shout, your life will be changed forever. And forever isn't just a little dash on your tombstone, right? Forever means whatever comes after that little tombstone. That's the forever that we talk about. But there needs to be a laying on of hands. I need to be able to put my hand. It's difficult for me to disciple someone in Bloemfontein. It's difficult for me to disciple someone in Cape Town. I've got many friends. I've got many brothers and sisters in Christ that lives quite a few places. I met a few new brothers and sisters in Jeffreys Bay a few weeks back. But they are together and they disciple one another. I'm here. This is part of the group of people that I disciple and disciples me. That's what the Lord felt good for. Let's read the Bible. See, what does it do? Hebrews 10, verse 24, 25. When we get together, this is part of what happens. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more so, as you see the day approaching. Pete shared a lovely message on the day that's approaching. Okay? And don't go into an argument of the day that's approaching. The Bible is very clear. We don't know when it's going to happen. But I know where I'm going. If the day is today, hopefully you know as well. And as I'm walking with many of you, and I have you in my house, I know where you're going. And I'm excited for you. So sorry if I don't spend that much time with you, because there are other people who don't know where they're going. And we want to tell them about the reason why we gather on a Sunday, why we get together in homes, why we go and play paddle together. I realize I'm referring a lot to paddle because there's probably not much other things to do in Kimberley. Sorry, guys. Fishing. Drinking coffee. Golf. Okay, there we go. Got some other stuff. Gym. God intended us as believers to be together, to walk together. It's difficult to try and do it on your own. I'm not saying it's impossible. God has saved many people by themselves in their room, listening, hearing a gospel song or reading the word, and God has touched them right there, right then. He can do that. He can impart them with the Holy Spirit right there, right then as well. We actually read of some instances in the Bible. But it's so much easier when we get together. It's so much easier when we disciple one another. And I do want to say, if you haven't thought about this, is that discipling one another is also allowing to be discipled. I was in Bloemfontein this weekend. We had a hub weekend where all the full-time elders of Joshin of the region came together, and we have some time together, ask how it's going and stuff. And then the next moment, it goes like, so let's look at one another's preaching. I don't think that's necessary. I'm doing fine. And then all of a sudden we start looking at and rating one another's preaching. And don't worry, no one is offended. But I opened up my heart and said, please, I am struggling. My wife and I, we were honest, we were vulnerable, and I really don't mind. Like, I'm not offended. Please don't think it's funny because the world doesn't want to do it. And that's the standard the world tells us. Don't let other people touch your stuff. Or know your business. Okay? But if I lay hands on you, I'm close to you, I'm near to you. You're allowing me. I allowed them to speak into my life because I want to be better in advancing the kingdom of God. I want to look more like Jesus. every single day. So as there's a closeness and a nearness, as disciples, we are being discipled by one another, but first and foremost, we are discipled by God. And therefore, we can disciple one another. It is impossible for me to disciple anyone if I do not spend time with God. So there must be a spiritual laying on of hands from God onto me so that I'm able to draw close to you. And I've seen this in many people's lives. People who hide behind, I'm an introvert, or I'm shy, I don't like spending time with people. All of a sudden they get saved. They're still an introvert, okay? We're not going to go to the introvert, extrovert thing. Those are real things, and it's how you rest, and. But then all of a sudden they don't mind spending time with people. All of a sudden they don't mind spending time with people at the braai every weekend. Or inviting people into their house. Do you know how foreign that is for the world to have people you don't really know in your house? You first need to get to know them at work. And then if they're lucky, they get invited into your house. Or it must be a family friend. Or if you've got kids in school, especially the little ones, that's how other people get into your house, because there's a party for the 5-year-old or the 6-year-old. Oh, I dare you go and invite someone this week that hasn't been in your house. Never. That has no other reason to be in your house. Invite them over and look at the reaction. And then really invite them. Open up your house, so that they will be loved and cared for all of a sudden, so that you have the opportunity to testify, because you're bringing them into your house. You're opening up your heart, your house, your hands. It changes lives. John, can I get you in the front? Guys, this is, no one knows what's coming, okay? Not even the guys I'm calling to the front. Evan, can I get you? Jock, can I get you in the front? Philly, can I get you in the front? No. Okay. John, you're going to be the injured guy lying there on your back against, so you can go have an injury there. No. We're not praying for healing. We're just illustrating something, okay? A lot of this, but you're full of pain, right? I should have let you be. Okay. You guys can move a little bit up. You can scooch to the side there. All right. You've got a phone on you, John. So please, Evan, do you've got a phone on you? Yeah, there we go. Please give Evan a call and tell him that you are injured. No, you don't really have to go. Just tring, 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 tring. Evan picks up. So Evan's reply is, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear. I'll pray for you." And he hangs up. Yeah. If this was a WhatsApp, there would have been an emoji, right? Just side note, that emoji is actually a high five emoji, not a praying emoji, just so that you all know. Okay, fun fact. Okay, Jock, you had to come drop off something at John's house for some other odd reason. Here we go. Yeah. And you check, hey, this guy's not okay. See? No, you didn't get that part, sorry. So you give him a Powerade.
Yeah, have a Powerade.
And off you go. John, are you feeling better? No.
He's not thirsty.
He's not thirsty anymore. So Billy, you have heard. He didn't phone you. You have only heard that he's not okay. And you come around to John's place. And Billy asks him, how's he doing? John is just down in the ashes. And Billy goes, listen, John, how can I help you? He picks him up, puts him on his shoulders. Oh, no, sorry. And he also lays hands on him and pray for him. And he spends time with John, making sure that he's okay. And he says, I'll be back tomorrow to check in on you. Thank you, guys. You guys can take a seat. Which one was the most impactful? Billy was the most impactful, yeah. Because not only did he pray for him, he laid hands on him. He was there and he stuck. And he came alongside John. Although he didn't pick him up on his shoulders, that's okay. There was love. There was a closeness that came with that caring. I'm sure Evan prayed for him, really prayed for him. Jock would have prayed for him. I mean, Jock is a good guy. He would have prayed as he was driving away and said, oh, Lord, be with John. The Bible actually tells us as well that we don't just pray for other people, but we also act it out in our deeds. And as we lay hands, I've mentioned this earlier, we are not able to do that without the Holy Spirit. And that is probably one of the most important laying on of hands that I can read in the scripture. Nowhere it says, Paul says it is the most. This is a Aaron's quote, sorry guys. But from what I read in the Bible, it is probably the most important laying on of hands. Is praying for other people and trusting that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as I walk with the Lord and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit alone. This morning, who didn't want to jump up and down at first and then might have did a little jump? No one? Did everyone just... Celan, you were one of them. But there was a closeness. And because of what other people started experiencing through the Holy Spirit, he allowed other people to influence him and be led by the Holy Spirit. And he then started jumping up and down. I can promise you, I don't feel every Sunday to jump up and down. Some Sundays I come to church and I go like, Lord, today I will be still and know that you are God. And then I start worshiping. And then all of a sudden, I'm not still anymore. Because I allow the Holy Spirit. To be honest, when I was on holiday and we visited the Mossel Bay congregation, that morning the kids were rowdy and running around and I wasn't sure on how it will look. And I was like, okay, we'll just like see how it goes. And I'll just chill. And the next moment, worship, standing in the back. I can't contain it. I can't. Because I know for who I'm dancing. Because I allow God to be close to me. And this morning, I'm not sure what this looks like. We can prepare for a sermon as much as we want to, but there's one aspect that's quite difficult to prepare for, and that's what does the Holy Spirit want to come and do in that exact moment? I know the topic. I did some research. I tried making some notes. It changed multiple times. And still, I'm standing here in front of you, and I go, Lord, I'm not sure how to land this. Because my prayer is that each one of us will be filled with the Holy Spirit before we walk out of this door. But the Aaron's head knowledge goes like, that's probably not possible. So can I ask us to stand together? And that if you are full of the Spirit, can I ask you to trust with me and pray with me that people will be filled with the Spirit and that God will reveal to us how we land this meeting? Because I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to ask if that's okay because I know it's weird. But can I ask us to stand together and see how this plays out as a congregation? So if you feel a pressing on your heart, please, now is not the time to be shy or hold back. Please come to the front. Evan, Jock will also be here with me. Evan will be here with me. And let's see what the Lord does. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that you are close to us, that you are near to us, Lord. Thank you that you reach out your hand and that you want to touch us every single day. As we stand here this morning, as we gather together as saints, as your people, we ask that your will be done.